Good news, it's pie season. Yeah, you all with me? It's pie season. It's the time when the fruit is starting to be taken off the trees. It's ripe. You make the dough, you put the fruit in it, you bake it, you burn it. That's what I do. But my favoriteest pie is the pie I absolutely ruined as a young man. So it calls for sugar, most pie doughs, right? Or you put the sugar with the fruit and make the filling. Well, when you put salt instead of sugar, the pie don't taste very good. So, number one lesson, when you're baking a pie, use the right ingredients, because the wrong ingredients tend to ruin the pie. But you also probably should use ripe fruit and not underripe fruit, because then you have apples that become hard and crunchy. Or if they're perhaps a little too soft or a little bit rotten, then that also ruins the pie, because then who wants to eat a rotten apple pie? So the second rule is not only use the right ingredients, but make sure that the fruit or whatever it is you're using is actually ripe, not underripe and not rotten. But the best and most important rule when baking a pie is eat the one somebody else makes for you, preferably with whipped cream on top. But the point of all of this exercise in baking is that if you are going to make a delicious pie, you have to use the right ingredients, you have to use ripe fruit, and all of those things make a better pie versus actually making it toxic, uneatable, and all you can do is really just throw it away. Well, in our text from Ephesians, we're not baking a pie, we're making a church. But just as you bake a pie, you must use the right and proper ingredients. Paul reminds us that if you're going to make a church, you have to have the right ingredients also. Because if you have the wrong ingredients, it's only going to make the pie or the church inedible. It's not going to function and work. Now, last week in our sermon, I talked about how God had a goal and purpose for us. And that goal was that we would reach the finish line of being mature in Jesus Christ. But most importantly, the goal was that God wanted us to do it together in unity. So what we are making this morning is not apple pie, much to my dismay, but we're making a unified church. Now, you put flour and butter and sugar to make a pie, but Paul reminds us what it takes in order to make a church. You must have love. You must have forgiveness. You must be tender-hearted to one another. You must be wanting to build up each other instead of ripping each other down. But if you have the wrong ingredients, you ruin your pie. If you put the wrong ingredients into the church, you're not going to make a church. In fact, you might tear down the church. So in our making of our church, we must have the right ingredients, but we also must have the ripe fruit. And the first ingredient that Paul says we can't be putting in our pies, we can't be putting in our unity, he says, is how we use our words. He says, let not your words be deceptive or false. Nothing will kill a pie like putting salt in place of sugar. Nothing will kill unity in the church like secrets or lies or deception. Nothing will destroy and more toxic to trust than lying about something. Because how can you trust someone if they're not telling you the truth? If they're hiding stuff from you? Whether it be the church board that's not telling you how it's spending its money, which, by the way, they do. Whether it's the deacons not telling you about so-and-so being sick and being concerned and praying, they do. But what we are talking about is not having a parking lot meeting while we have a regular meeting going on. A parking lot meeting is when two or three people meet before or after church and decide what they're going to do, and nobody else is there. Nobody else has a say in it. Is that going to build unity? No, it's going to destroy it. It's going to sabotage it. But it isn't just deceptive words. It's evil words. It's words that hurt. Words that harm or injure. So we are also told not just keep out the deceptive words, but the evil words, the evil talk. The word itself literally is rotten words. When you put rotten apples in an apple pie, what happens to the pie? You throw it out. When you put rotten words into the church, guess what happens? There ain't no church. So we are told to keep out the wrong words, the false words, and the rotten words. But we are told to put in loving words, of speaking truth to one another in love, words that give and impart grace to other people, to give encouragement, to build up and sustain, words of hope, words of faith, words of love. Those are the words that need to go into our pies. Those are the words that need to go into our church. And then we will be united instead of divided. But the second ingredient Paul says we have to keep out of our church, out of our pies, is anger. He says, be angry, but don't sin with your anger. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Deal with it. You see, when we are angry, we are like porcupines. Anyone that gets close to us is going to get a faceful of quills. We're so angry and enraged over what's going on that anytime we get close to somebody, what happens? We get wounded. We get hurt. We get traumatized by anger. Nothing will kill church unity like an enraged person, people, or group. Rather, instead, we are told to deal with our anger and our rage. In fact, we are told to put it out of the recipe altogether, he says. You know the anger when it starts to build small and it becomes just a little bit bitter, a little bit of bitterness, and then it starts to grow and fester, and the fire gets a little bit more, and then you start getting angry, and then you start talking about somebody, and then you start shouting at somebody, and pretty soon you're just out of control. And that's me in front of the Browns every Sunday. But what does anger do to a church? Do you think people are going to want to go to church if we're porcupines? Yeah, you got it right, buddy. Do you think we're going to reach out to people? No. I like this kid. Do you think we're showing the love of God to the world by being enraged? So there can't be anger in our pies. There can't be anger in our church, or there ain't going to be a church. There's only going to be one mad person. So, my friends, that means that we have to learn to cope with our anger. And we're told to do it quickly, before the sun goes down. And let me tell you, here's the best piece of advice. Don't hit send. Facebook is not there for you to vent. Twitter is not a good place to tell the world how bad your boss is when your boss can read it. Don't text your loved one, your wife, your husband, your parents, your children, your grandchildren. Type it out and then delete it. Don't hit send. Because what is the anger going to do? It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt the other person. And that isn't love. That doesn't build anything up. All that does is make the pie inedible. The only thing you can do with it is throw it out and start over. So, my friends, if we're truly going to build unity, we've got to learn to deal with our anger in ways that are helpful instead of ways that are hurtful. The last ingredient Paul puts in our recipe for unity in the church is what we do with our hands. He says, let the thief stop stealing. Let the thief start working. Honestly is one of the adjectives, and the more important is hard, with labor and sweat and toil. Because it isn't about taking stuff with our hands. That's not going to build unity. Who's going to want to go to church when there's always somebody there that's trying to steal from us? Rather, what is the ingredient that bakes our pie? What is our ingredient that builds church unity? A generous and a giving spirit. To give away instead of to take away. To impart and to give generously and graciously instead of standing there constantly going, I need, I need, I need. The best way to build church unity is to come with this idea that you are not a shopper here. When you are a shopper, it's about you getting. You go to the store because you need, because you want to get what? Hopefully the stuff to make a pie. You're not a shopper here. You don't come to church to shop. You come to church to give. To give to God what? Thanks? Praise? The psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul. It's about you giving to God what God deserves. It's not about you going to church to get something out of it. You're not a shopper here. You're not a consumer. It isn't about I didn't get anything out of the idiot standing up here. It's about God getting something out of you. What God deserves, like a thank you for your life, like gratitude for all that you have been given. And quite frankly, we don't deserve any of it. To sing songs of God's greatness, to tell stories of his deeds and his might and his saving, to stand here, to pray here, but most importantly, to give here. That will build church unity. That'll make a pretty good pie. But coming to the church to take, that's not going to make anything. My friends, you're not a shopper here. You're a human. A human made in God's image, loved and cherished and valued. But you were made to give, not to get. So if we're truly going to build church unity, we must have a giving spirit and not a getting spirit. We're not to be thieves. We are to work hard. But we are work hard so that we could do what? To give. To give to others like God gave to me. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried because I stink at baking pies, but more importantly, I've got bad words, I've got anger, and quite frankly, I like to get, just not a happy birthday on my birthday. So how on earth is there ever going to be a united church as long as we're in it? How are we going to ever bake a pie? How are we going to make a church that is unified as long as you and I are in it? Well, there's hope for us yet. Because even when we put in our nastiness, when we put in our anger, when we put in our selfishness, there is hope for this church yet. Because God is putting something into this church. You and I might add butter and sugar to a pie. You and I might put in the wrong ingredients to this united church, but the hope is God always, 100% of the time, puts something into the recipe. The best and perfect ingredient. The one that makes it all a perfect pie each and every time. And I'm talking about the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And when God put that's in the pie, oh, buddy, look out. Because even in the midst of fight, even in the midst of conflict, as long as God puts Holy Spirit into the mix, the church will always be one. And I'm sorry, you're just not that powerful. You can't screw it up. There's nothing you can do that can ultimately tear God's church apart. You're just a human. Sorry about your luck. Get over it. But it does mean that there will always be one church because God puts this ingredient into his pie. And if there is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, there will always be one church that there is no heresy can destroy, no schism can divide, no obnoxious person or personality, no bad words, no anger, no thief can lay waste, because it's the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And my friends, the Spirit is quite up to the task of making us one. But here's the challenge. If that's what God's doing, what are you doing? If that's the ingredient God is putting into this church, what's the ingredient you're putting in? First things first, it's not salt. It's not bad words. It's not anger. It's not selfishness. The ingredients God wants us to put into this church, along with the Spirit of Jesus Christ, is what? Love. Loving words. God wants our emotions, but our good emotions. God wants us to not be selfish, but selfless. So if those are the things God putting is into this church, what's the thing you're putting into this church? Is it going to make us better? Is it going to make us more whole? Is it going to keep us together? Is it words of compassion and encouragement? Is it love? Is it generosity and a generous spirit? Or are you going to be the porcupine? Are you going to be the rotten person with the rotten words? Are you going to be the person that takes instead of giving? So, my friends, that's the question put to us this morning. We all know what God put in. What are you going to put in? And what if this is the time that we put away the nastiness, we put away the bitterness, we put away the secrets and the lies and the deception, we deal with our anger issues in a way that's helpful instead of hurtful, but most importantly, we become people who give like God gave to us. We all know what God put into this. What are you going to put into this? So, my friends, we are baking a pie. God has put in his ingredients into it. What are you going to put into it? Chances are it's going to be wonderful, delightful, and taste great. But what are you going to add? Is it going to help, or is it going to ruin? May God be given the glory, the honor, and the praises of his people for his love, for his grace, and for his gifts. And all of God's people say, amen.